He came in on wide open, didn't he? Yeah, Romans chapter 5, 19. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." And then over in chapter 6, verse 18, right across the page on in my Bible, the Bible says, "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." I actually used that verse for part of the Sunday school lesson that I did for Paul this morning, since he was out, and probably overlap a little bit what I said there about that there. So I want to think about this. I didn't get with Eileen with the notes either. Man, we're all messed up. The title of the message is Opposition to Sin. Opposition to Sin. So what stands in the opposition to sin? Well, it's obedience. You know, because disobedience is sin, and the opposite of disobedience is obedience, right? Obedience. So in 5:19, the very first verse I read, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners," which that word "many" there would be all, "so that by the obedience of one shall many," which would be many, not all, many be made righteous. You got it? So there was disobedience of one and the obedience of one. That was in opposition to the results of those two things. So sin entered and many all were made sinners and was disobedient. And so the opposition by the obedience of one, Jesus, the other one was Adam, shall many be made righteous. Now I'm talking about now. What I want to talk about is not the obedience as a means to salvation. You know, we're not saved by obedience. It's not works. The Bible said, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. We're saved by grace, but then there is the obedience that comes with the new birth, you know, the new life, the spirit-filled life. It's an evidence. I mean, how would you know? Listen, if you're going to say, like I said this morning, if you're a follower of Christ, then you're doing what he's leading. And if you're not, that's disobedience. So how would a person know that they were saved if it wasn't by what they see, what happens in their life when they're, you know, when their life is changed? So the very first point is obedience. Number one, obedience. We think about that. You know, we have to give obedience the place that God gives it in the Bible. We have to think about that. This isn't probably a popular topic, obedience. But the Bible talks about this, and God has given it a place in the Word of God. There would be no salvation available if Jesus the man had not been obedient to the will of the Father. Amen. If he had not been obedient, there would not be salvation. Philippians chapter 2, I'll just read you a couple things from there. Verse 5, it said, listen to this now. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And think about that verse. "Let this mind be in you," Christians, "which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And so there we see the obedience. And then in verse 5, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Well, what was the mind of Christ? He said, "Not my will, but thy will." Huh? What was it? What was in his mind was the will of the Father. That's what he said. Of my own self, I can do nothing. He said, I want to do the will of the Father. That's it. And so the obedience of Christ was so pleasing to the Father that it must become the character of our nature and walk as well. This is what pleases, like, so if it's the life of Christ, if Christ is living in us and we're crucified with Christ and we're dead and Christ is living in us, yet not I but Christ, right? Then what are we going to be doing? Walking in obedience, right? Walking in obedience. And so if we walk in obedience, then that is pleasing to the Father. And so I think that people, I know that people do, they live lives satisfied with, in some way, with the myth that sin is a necessity and that sin is unavoidable. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that. I think we just throw in the towel, well, we're all sinners. No, we're not all. We're all sinners, and some of us are saved by grace, right? We're saved, and we've got the life of Christ. And that we think that we can't get the victory over sin when the cross and the resurrection says otherwise, right? The cross and the resurrection says other things. Now look, Romans 6:18. We use this verse this morning. It says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Wait a minute now. Being made free from sin. This is Christ. We're made free from sin by Christ. We became the servants, you know, and I said this morning, and I've said it here, we're either serving Satan and sin or we're serving Christ. Now, if we're serving Christ and we've been made free from sin, does that mean that we have no victory over sin? We can have no power over sin? Yeah. Oh, it means we can have victory over sin, and we can. We've been made free by Christ if we walk in the power of the resurrection. So why would we think that we can't get the victory over sin and just be satisfied with not being, you know, living a life that's pleasing to God? And so the cross and the resurrection says otherwise to the statement that we can't have the victory over sin. 6:18, we see that other contrast too, being made free from sin, became the servants of righteousness. That's another, we see a contrast that's going on there. And I spoke about this to the Sunday school this morning. It sounds like a kind of a contrast, being made free and then servant, free and servant. But, you know, I've said this to you before, we got to serve, we're serving somebody, you're serving. We don't have a choice as to whether we're going to be a server or not. We have a choice as to whom we're going to serve. Who are you going to serve? You going to serve Satan, self, or are you going to serve Christ? You know, those are the two. That's where you have the choice. And so that being made free from sin became servants of righteousness. How many of us, listen, if we had a servant, that we hired a servant, if they were habitually disobedient, what would you do? You get rid of them, right? Why? Because they're disobedient. So why would we, in regard to Christ, think that disobedience in a child of God is a normal thing? It's not a normal thing. We pray and we desire the power of the Holy Spirit. We want Like if we're not full of the Spirit, let me ask you that. Do you think God's willing that we be filled with the Spirit, you know, and that means totally being controlled by God? Is God willing? If we're not, why aren't we? What's the hindrance? Not following. Huh? Listen, man, God's not filling us with this self, filling us with the Holy Spirit, and we haven't quenched the Spirit and grieved the Spirit if we're following Christ, but if we're not, and then we want the power and we want victory over this, that, and the other thing. We compromise with everything under the sun. We get involved in every kind of sin that's out there in the world and wonder why we don't have any power with God, power in our service, power in whatever we're doing for God. Acts 5:32 says, we are his witnesses of these things. Listen to this now. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't have the Holy Spirit, but boy, we don't have the fullness of the Spirit if we don't obey him, right? Now, Peter and the apostles, all the rest of the apostles, they knew that. Their thought was that they couldn't separate salvation from obedience. They couldn't see a difference there. I mean, salvation just produced it. That was it. And being a follower of Christ to them, and the Scripture teaches us this, meant that they obeyed Christ. Like I said to Sunday school class this morning, Jesus is called Lord, right? Well, Lord means that he's the ruler, he's the king, he's on the throne of your life, right? But you can't call him Lord if you're not listening to what he has to say, if you're not being obedient to Christ. And so that the key also to the fullness of the Spirit is definitely obedience. You know, we just can't be disobedient and shouldn't be. And we don't have to be either. We don't have to be. And I think if we, you know, when we are obedient, what happens, it like reciprocates in a way. As we are obedient and we follow Christ, then we see more of what God can do, what God will do through us. We can see that. But if we continue in disobedience, what happens? We've quenched the Spirit. We've grieved the Spirit. And then we're going to see, I'm telling you what's going to happen. You're going to see unanswered prayers. People say all the time, you know, preacher, why do I feel so distant from God? I'll tell you why. Because you're going one way and he's going another. I mean, that's just like, if I'm walking this way and you're walking that way, guess what? There's going to be a distance, right? I mean, we're not going to be, it's, so that's normal, right? I just feel so distant from God. I feel so cold. I don't know what's wrong. And it's everything else under the sun except looking at yourself. That's why we feel. That's why you feel that way. And so we want, you know, our prayer life is affected by that. And then, you know, our labor that we have, fruitless labor, is affected by that. So surrendering to Christ, it just means, it's simple. It's not, this isn't brain surgery. It means obedience. And it couldn't be anything else. So the Bible says if we're led by the Spirit, that we walk by the Spirit. And I said this morning, walks in, face an action word. It's moving. Walk. We're walking. It's moving, right? And so if we're led by the Spirit, we must walk by the Spirit because we got to walk the direction he's leading. If we're not walking the direction he's leading, distance. Distance. It's distance. On the last night, you know, Jesus' words, listen, on the last night before his betrayal, this is what he said. Now listen to this. This is what he's telling all the disciples, telling the followers of him. In John chapter 14, this is what he said in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Huh? Now, he's not talking to people on how to be saved. He's talking to people that are saved. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? And then right there in the same chapter, verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. What did I say today? What's the greatest motivator in the world? Love. That's right. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and listen, and will manifest myself to him. I will manifest myself to him. We, you know, we won't feel the distance. You know, we'll feel, you know, the presence of God, right? He'll manifest himself somehow. That's what he said. That's what Jesus said. Verse 23, he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That'd be the Holy Spirit, I believe. Check that out, huh? That's what he said in verse 23. And then in chapter 15, verse 7, all this is red letter stuff. This is Jesus talking. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. There's an effective prayer life. Of course, you'll be asking the right thing because he's abiding in us. Verse 10, he said, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And in verse 14, he said, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. That's it. That's simple, right? Love motivating that. So Jesus made it clear that the whole life is following him, in following him, of following him, depends upon obedience. That's it. I mean, it just can't. It's so simple, yet sometimes, you know, you can't call him Lord if you don't follow him. You can't say you love him according to those words I just read you, that if you're not following him, if you're not being obedient, you can't say that. Our prayers are hindered. Our work is hindered. The fruit of our work is hindered if we're not being obedient. And so we've quenched the Spirit, grieved the Spirit. This is it. This is everything that depends on this. Jesus said that he lived not to do his own will, but the will of the Father. That's how he lived. That's why he lived, to do the will of the Father. So who's living in you? Who's living in us, right? It's Jesus, if you're saved, is living in you. So is this obedience, is this a possible thing? We've talked about that. Well, it's certain. It's certain according to the Word of God for the man who relies wholly on Christ. Listen to this, Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, that means complete, in every good work to do his will. Now tell me that it's not a possibility to be obedient all the time. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, there's the resurrection, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, complete in every good work to do his will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. He's working it in there. It's not us. He's working it in there. If we're obedient, we just follow. See, it's just follow. In his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, God does the work. See, because we'd brag about it if we were able to be obedient in our own strength. Brag. But he does it. See, all we do is follow. I tell this, I use this illustration all the time. And I use it. If you know where we're going, and you say, I know where I'm going, follow me. I'm going to get in my car, and you're in your car, and I'm going to be right on your car. Drives me nuts. Drives me nuts when somebody says, okay, I'll follow you, and I know where I'm going. I go down the road, and they lag way back. Les, my buddy Les Kettner, that'll be preaching there, he's the world's worst. I mean, you got about to stop the car in the middle of the highway, waiting on him to catch up. I'm thinking, you don't know where you're going. Why would you let the car get that far away? You know, I'm like, I'm going to run into the back of you, but I ain't going to let you get away. I'm going. You might stop all of a sudden. Bang, you know, you'll know I'm there. I don't know where I'm going. So what else do you have to do? You don't have to know the directions. You don't have to know where how to get there. You don't have to know nothing about it. Don't need a GPS. Nothing. You just follow along, and guess what? We're going to get where we're supposed to go. It's the same way with God. If we're being obedient, we're following Christ, listen, that's, we're going to be obedient because guess what? He ain't going to lead you into sin. He's not going to lead you down another road. He's going to lead us right there where we need to be, and we're not going to fail. We're not going to fall. He'll be able to keep us, all the things that we just read about. Huh? He's going to make us perfect in every good work to do his will because that's the way he's leading. He's going to be working in us. He's doing the leading, and which is well-pleasing in his sight. This is it. Jude 24 begins this way. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. To him that is able to keep you from falling. Well, how's he going to keep you from falling? Just follow his lead. Follow his lead. We got his word. We got the Holy Spirit. We know everything we need to know. Huh? God, just follow his lead. Guess what? He is able to keep you from falling. You won't fall into sin. I mean, right now, about the only thing you can do in here, I guess you could, you could get riled up, man, Greg, and all that. Colleen, or the other way around. Huh? Well, you could sin with your mind, I guess, but we're not going to get in too much trouble here. Why? Because we're a church, and you know, we're listening to the word of God, right? We're being faithful to the Lord. We're showing our love to the Lord, and all that. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to do that, and we're not going to fall. So, as sure as forgiveness of sin is secured, as sure as we have forgiveness of sin for us by Christ, also power against sin. That's assured. We've got the power. We don't have to sin. Listen. I mean, there's, we mess ourselves up a lot. Don't put yourself in a bad situation. Huh? Don't listen. Don't get in a situation it's going to tempt you, drag you away, put you in a place of sin, compromise your testimony, whatever you want to say. I'm not saying that we can't. Yeah, Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. But I'll guarantee you one thing, whatever, if they was doing anything else they shouldn't have been doing there, he wasn't doing it. And he was trying to talk to them about themselves. I'll guarantee that. Faith brings us to Christ, and Christ is responsible to work out the life of obedience in us. He'll do it. If we'll just listen to him and if we'll just follow him, right? So we've got obedience. And then the second thing I want to talk to you about is the victorious life. I'm going to give you, that's number two, Eileen. That's all we got. Got a Colleen and Eileen. I'll get them mixed up. We got the victorious life. So how can we really live as a victor as opposed to defeated Christian lives, or victorious as opposed to defeated Christian lives? We understand that prayer, listen, prayer and the spiritual life go together. We have to know that. And you can't have a spiritual life apart from prayer. You can't have it. You probably could pray without a spiritual life, because I think a lot of people do. But you can't have a spiritual life apart from prayer. You have to have that. Now, when Jesus spoke to the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, He kept repeating this phrase. He said, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. And it's not your works. You know, you see that in 1 John. It'll kind of bear that out. But, you know, who is he that overcometh? But he that believeth, you know, in the Son of God, trusts in the Son of God. And he told one church, you know, he spoke to one church that had lost their first love. He spoke to another church that they had a name that they were living, but they were dead, that they had spiritual life, but they really didn't have it. He spoke to a church that was lukewarm and satisfied. And he called all of them to repent. He called them all to repent. So here's some hopeful things. Let me give you a few things to help you along life's way here. These things will maybe help you some. How to live a victorious Christian life. You know, and a lot of it's, I mean, it's based on following the Lord, of course. But number one, the very first thing is a new discovery of sin. Romans chapter 3 tells us that knowledge of sin is necessary for repentance and forgiveness. You know, repentance, okay? So what we have to do is, number one, we have to recognize what our sin is, whatever it may be. And there's not always the obvious one. Sometimes there's just negligence and neglect and just a lot of things like that that are off on the side. But we have to, we have to recognize that, and then we have to confess that. And realize that the Bible says this, in our flesh dwelleth no good thing, that in us there's nothing. You just have to get a grip on that. There's nothing in us good. And we don't have any power to do good, not of our own self. Now, if Christ is there, there's the power, right? So what are you going to do? See that right there? So there's power. But it don't do no good if you don't plug into it. Huh? You got that old radio, you know, like say you had a radio and it was corded. There's the radio, there's the power. But there's no power in the radio until you plug it into the socket. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit, right? We've got God, but listen, there's no power if we're not plugged in prayer, in the Word, in obedience. Got to be obedient, right? We can't live in sin. And you can pray all you want to, and you read your Bible all you want to, but if you're not obedient to God, listen, I'm going to tell you what, there ain't no power there. There's nothing there. It doesn't matter. So we have to recognize our sin. We got to confess it, realize in our flesh there's no good thing. And no power of our own self. The power, we got to be plugged into the power all the time, or it's not going to work. We're not going to work. It's not going to work. Understand your nature, what nature you have, and cry out to God. This is what we have to do. The second thing is a new surrender to Christ. We have to be brought up to Romans chapter 7. Romans 6, 7, and 8, some of the greatest chapters in the Bible. You have to be brought to Romans chapter 7 and realize that all our efforts to produce anything good are going to fail. Our efforts produce nothing but failure. Our own efforts, apart from Christ, failure and frustration. You have to understand that. That's what Paul said. You know, what shall deliver me from this body of death? You know, well, it's Christ. He got to that point. See, in Romans chapter 6, he was lost. In Romans chapter 7, he's saved, but he can't realize how to get the victory in the saved life. In Romans chapter 8, he's got it all. He figures this out. Those are the three things that are going on in those three chapters. So realize that Christ is leading us away from ourself, our own self. We're our biggest enemy, your own self. So it's the self life. Realize that. We've been made free. Realize that. And learn to expect everything from Christ. That's what you have to do. You have to realize you're being led away from yourself, a surrender to Christ. And listen to me. It's got to be done by a definite act. You know, where you just acknowledge this and say, listen, this is it. I'm being led away from myself, and I've got to follow. There's things in the Bible that Christ does it. But at the same time, it just doesn't happen without our some thought life with us on what's happening, what he's doing, you know, how it's taking place. You know, when you come to Christ for salvation, I mean, you just weren't sitting at home one day and all of a sudden I just realized I'm saved. No, it was a definite act on your part that you acted in faith and you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin. Well, listen, getting the victory over the self life, you know, get to this. To live a victorious Christian life, it's going to be a definite act on your part. I know God gives you the power, the inclination. He does all those things in your life, but your will's still involved in where you say, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go this way. I'm going the way that God led me. What would God lead us to? a disobedient life? No. He's going to lead us to a positive. So there has to be a definite act where you say, this is it. Man, I'm following Christ. And you have the power to break away from the sinful life. You have the power to do that. It's Christ. It's in him. You can do it. He said that. This is the way he's leading us. So it's really just like the act that there was a time. How many of you remember when you got saved? There was a day. There was a time. Listen, I got saved, right? It was a day. Okay, well, listen, after salvation, there can be a day where you say, you know what, I'm quit. I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of fighting. Man, I'm surrendering. I'm giving it all to Christ, and I'm making a definite act, and I'm going to follow him. Got to be a time and a place, a definite act, just the same way. And so we have to do that. And then there's a new faith. The third thing, a new faith in power. Faith in the power of Christ that will make it possible for us to persevere in our surrender. You know, we have to think about that. Jesus has a desire for this. This is what God wants for us, and he's leading us that way. And listen, Jesus desires it and prepared for it. Just trust him. Just trust him, right? Why do people have a problem with trusting Christ? It's an unbelief problem in this way that we have a fear. What did I say this morning? Fear always immobilizes. It causes us not to move forward. There's a fear of failure that holds people back. It happens a lot of times in other things in life. You know, there's people that think, oh, hey, I wish I'd go into business for myself. What holds them back? Fear of failure. They don't do it. And they won't do it. It's fear. Fear's not faith, though. What we have to do, listen, you got to believe it. You know, you might think like this. I'm just throwing this out there because we've probably all been there somewhere. Oh, I don't think I could live a victorious life like somebody else you might look at, a Paul or some modern person, more modern person, preacher, evangelist, somebody you know. Yes, it is possible. It is possible. It's possible because they didn't do it in their own strength either. They did it in Christ. Listen, Christ, and Jesus didn't say, look, Paul, Peter, you guys, I'm going to give you guys a little bit more power, a little bit more faith than I'm going to give the Christians later on down the road, y'all, because y'all got it. No, we got all the same. It's all the same thing. It's possible. It's a possible thing. And so we have to believe that there's a victorious life. It is available for us, for every single person. There's no person that it's not available for. And so we have to trust Jesus to do the work. So, you know, this is where I want you to, you know, get to, and I'm almost done with this. So in opposition to sin is the victorious life of obedience. This is where God leads us. In every case, it's all throughout the Bible. This is how he leads. This is where he leads us. And if he leads us there, he certainly empowers us there. He certainly fills us to do it. So if we fully trust by faith in the power of Jesus Christ and surrender ourselves to him, guess what? You know, we've got the victorious Christian life. We can live the life in opposition to sin, the life of obedience. That is the victorious life, right? Obedience to him. Listen, because also there's a fear, I think, that you're going to miss out. You're going to lose something. It's not going to be great. You always do what you think's best, you know, for you. This will be a better deal than what God's leading. Listen, why would God lead us to anything but the best life? He doesn't. He doesn't lead us to anything but the best life. He wants the best for us. He's not holding out so we can't have fun. You know, that's not what the deal is. He's got a better life for you than what you have for you. He knows that. So this is what he leads us to. So why not trust him? Just say, hey, I'm going to do everything Jesus tells me to do and see how great the life is. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed.